is so busy, and partly because of just life. And let me see if I can get it to this. Okay. So there's decisions to make in the New Year's, and hopefully we can just reset ourselves, renew ourselves, make some decisions. That's what New Year's is all about, because quite frankly, we all get jolted out of our equilibrium. I remember I was driving home to San Francisco once, and it was late at night, and it hit a big rock, and it kind of like messed up my alignment. I had to literally pull onto the side, had to call for help, I had to pause, had to realign my tires so that I can go home straight and not hurt anybody. So it's a good time to reset ourselves. So we came up with this series called I Have Decided, which means that you actually have to put some effort into it, right? So I have decided, the title of today's message is I Have Decided on One Thing. Based off Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 through 14, and Luke chapter 10, 38 to 42. So without further ado, let me dive right into scripture. Paul, in this context, is in prison. He's not even sure what's going to happen to him. He's not even sure he's going to be executed or released. He is, in effect, stuck. He's getting old. He's stuck. He's not sure what's going to happen. And yet he is still setting goals. That's amazing. Let's read on. Verse 13. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. Now, I have not arrived yet. I am not done with my life yet. I still have some things I want to do. Here are the next five words, very important. But one thing I do. I'm going to narrow my life down to one thing. I'm going to narrow my life down to this very focused type of life. Forgetting what is behind. Now, if you've read Paul, you know that he was a bad guy in the past, so he doesn't like to talk about his past. And straining toward what is ahead. I really like his intensity. He's like, it's going to be difficult, but I'm going to put some effort into it. I'm going to put some faith into it. I'm going to go for it. Verse 14, I press on toward the goal. I like that. He's a goal setter. You know, the goal is not going to come to you. You have got to set your goals in life. I want to encourage us this morning. You know, when I speak, when I give a sermon, I'm not only preparing a sermon so that I can deliver it to the congregation. I'm giving a sermon to myself first. And whatever I learn from that, hopefully I can share with you and that you will be able to glean from it also. I want to encourage us this morning to get this into our heart, into our spirit. You know, many of us may have not had a good 2018, or we may be a little bit ashamed of our past. We may have suffered some type of loss. We might have even felt like we've been robbed, whether it's in business or some type of relationship. Or we might have felt like we wasted a lot of time, wasted a lot of our years. And there's a lot of futility going on. But I want to encourage you with this statement. Is that Christianity is not about the past. Christianity is about the future. Our God is a God of second chances. He is a great God. You know, if it's like I was shooting a basketball, he's like right there to get the rebound when I miss and throw it right back to me. Try again, David. If I'm playing golf and hit the ball into the pond, it's like he drops the ball right in front of you and says, hit a mulligan. Our God is a God of second chances. Look what Isaiah has to say. Forget the former things. Forget it. 2018 is now finished. Do not dwell on the past. You know, the past might influence you, but it doesn't need to control you. You can get some wisdoms from it and move forward to the future, but it doesn't need to control your life. Isaiah continues, see, I am doing a new thing. Isn't our God awesome? Isn't God wonderful? He is a God of second chances. He is a God who wants to give you and I new opportunities. In fact, if I have to say, if you've had a good 2018, if 2018 was a strength for you, then strength for strength, let's take what God has given us, be thankful, and continue. However, if 2018 has been a rough ride for you, it's over now. And let's allow God to help us turn a corner and move forward. Because now, it springs up. Now, right now, 2018, right here, right now, God has created this moment for you. Do you not perceive it? Do you not see that you're in 2019 now and there's different opportunities that are on the horizon? Many don't, unfortunately. Many are still dwelling on the past and are allowing their emotions to control them. They're stuck. But God says through Isaiah the prophet, I am making this new way into your wilderness. You know that place where you have been very confused? You're not sure if you wasted a lot of years, a lot of your times. You're not sure about this relationship that went the wrong way. There's this wilderness that you've been in. But I'm making this new way. I'm going to give you a new stream. Streams, water. There's going to be life. There's going to be fish jumping up and down. I'm going to give you new streams in your wasteland, in your dump, in your desert, where it's been dry, where it's been barren, where it didn't produce any fruit. But in 2019, if you will allow God, His presence to be with you, He's creating a new moment for you. If that is the case, what is our responsibility? I have a question that I ask myself, that I've reflected on, and a question that I want to ask you. What then is the one thing, if you change, would make the biggest difference moving towards 2019? I want you to think of this one thing as if your life depended on it. You have to make this change. It's just one thing, not two. Two is too many, just one. I want you to think of it, reflect on it, and even write it down on a piece of paper. Maybe not right now, but maybe afterwards when you get home. There's one thing, if you can change, right? Your life will be much better off. So think of it as if your life depended on it. I came up with some categories. It may not represent you, but it'll hopefully give you something to think about. Number one. My habits. You know, if that one habit changed, how would then my life look like? What if I just stopped doing this, or stopped eating this, or stopped drinking this, then what would my life look like? What's another category? Relationships. If that one relationship in my life changed, how would my life look like? What would my life look like if I took the first step to reconcile a broken relationship? What would my life look like if I took the first step to try to make the current relationship better? Or what would my life actually look like if I took the first step to say goodbye to some people I need to say goodbye to? Either way, either decision that you make, it's going to take a lot of courage. Here's another one. Debts. You know, if that one credit card was paid off, or I start paying off that one loan, how would my life look like? Health. As so much as I can control, right? If my health was better, if my weight was better, how would my life change? You know, what would my life look like in 2019 if I ate better, slept better, exercised better, if I reduced the stress of my life? Here's the last one. Dreams. You know, that one dream that God gave me when I was young, but for whatever reason, maybe just the busyness of life, or maybe I was a little bit timid, I have never even moved towards it. But what would my life look like if I actually stepped out, finally got out of that boat, and stepped out to that water where the waves are rough? But to understand that Jesus is waiting right there for me, so if I start sinking, He's going to catch me. You see all these opportunities? It's not an exhaustive list, but you see all these opportunities that we have, but there's a personal responsibility. So the question then is, what is that one thing right? If it changed, would make the biggest difference in my life moving forward. I think this is the passage that we talked about, that Craig read. Go right back here. King David figured it out. He says, one thing I ask of the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on his beauty, gaze on the beauty of the Lord, and to seek him in his temple. I think King David figured it out. Here's a man who had all the resources at his dispense. He's the king. He's rich. And he said, I still, even though I'm a rich guy, even though I have all this power, I still, this one thing that I need is to be in the very presence of God, to get closer to God. See, it's like if you had a car, right? You need to put gas in the car for the car to operate. So in the same way that a car needs gas to operate, we need the power, the presence of God to be, to empower us to accomplish all those things on our list. Here's something that's very important. Speaking of those things on our list, I think that if we want to accomplish them, right, according to this passage, we can't leave out God. We have to include him. Because we are spiritual beings first. And we make spiritual decisions. If we then try to accomplish things on pure, sheer will and determination, then it'll be kind of like a futile, right? New Year's resolution. You end up being frustrated. And you will give up. So it's important to include God because we're spiritual beings first. We make spiritual decisions. So here's a challenge that I came up for myself in the new year. The challenge that I proposed to you. Let us make 2019 the best year of our lives. It doesn't matter if you're retired, you're middle age, you're going through school, you're just beginning your life. We can all look forward to the future, understand the past is over, and we can make 2019 the best year of our lives. 2019 can be the best year of our lives if it is the best year spiritually. And so, there's a story that I'm going to talk about next. A story about three people, three main characters that we're all very familiar with, I would guess. A story about Jesus and two sisters, Mary and Martha. And the story is really a short parable, but it really illustrates the highest priority in a Christian's life, which is to be in the presence, the very presence of God. So let's look at this story real quick and see if we can glean from it some principles to help us live. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha. It's funny, look at this. Martha is known as the villain of the story, right, for most of us. But she was the only one who opened her home to him. So she did have some goodness in her heart. Verse 39. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet. She sat in the very presence of God. She was close to him. She was sitting in the very presence of God when her sister was in the kitchen working, being busy on a task, trying to uphold her reputation. But she sat there at Jesus' feet listening because she trusted and believed that Jesus had kind words for her, encouraging words for her, words that will empower her to live a life that is meant to be. So she sat there listening to what he said, verse 40, but Martha was distracted. I can identify with that. I'm trying to do some tasks, someone knocks on my door, I stop. I'm trying to pray, there's noise outside, and it distracts me. I'm trying to pray, there's no noise outside, but there's noise in my head. Things from the past trying to poke at me. There's always some stuff going on trying to distract me. So in many ways, I don't see Martha as a villain. I see her as someone that I actually identify with. So she was distracted by all types of preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work all by myself? Tell her to help me, with emphasis. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things. Here it is. But only one. One thing. Mary has chosen what is better, to be in the very presence of God, and it will not be taken away from her. Why not? Because when the Spirit of God empowers you to do His work, there's an eternal significance. There's an eternal, lasting value to it. When you're doing things on your own strength, chances are you're trying to control, manipulate, and dominate someone. You're doing things on your own strength. That stuff might make you look good. It might give you a reputation on the outside, but it does not have eternal significance. You're destroying something on your way to making yourself look better. So what are some things I learned from this story that will stir me into the presence of God? I came up with three of them. And so we came up with this title, I Have Decided. You know, Paul says, leaving all things behind, I strain forward to the future, I press on. There is this decided heart. There is this resolve that he had. There are some decisions that he had to make. So we came up with three things. I have decided. Here's the first one. I have decided to make 2019 the best year of my life. I have. I hope you have too. Ephesians 5 says, 5:15-16. Be very careful. I like how it starts off. It's like, chances are, I'm going to mess up again. Be very careful. My mother tells me when I go outside the house, be very careful. Mom, like, all right. Be very careful. Chances are, I'm going to mess up. But it's okay. God is there. Be careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. The word opportunity there literally means a window of time. Let's read this again. Be very careful to make every opportunity this window of time that you have where it opens and shuts. Now, 2019, now is the moment that God has created for you. The moment is right before you. Jesus is right before you. Please do not stay in the kitchen. Do not let a wall come between you and Jesus in 2019. Here's a challenge that I said to myself. I have decided, David, to make 2019 the best year of my life. 2019 can be the best year of your life if it's your best year spiritually. Why? See, if your spirit, if the presence of God dominates your flesh, if the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, dominates your flesh, wherever you go, you will see that 2019 will be the best year of your life, because you're simply a spiritual being temporarily housed in a physical body. So I have decided to make 2019 the best year of my life. Here's the second thing I gleaned from the story. I have decided to get that. What Martha did not do, by the way, is to get rid of all my distractions. Luke chapter 10, 41-42. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things. Isn't that true with many of us? But few things are needed. Or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better. Literally in the Greek, what is best. Not what is better, what is best. And it will not be taken away from her. You know, there's this sobering rebuke there. A sobering reality that just because you're busy doesn't mean that whatever you're busy at is of any importance. That's pretty sobering. There's a sobering rebuke, a reality that just because you're a busy person doesn't make you relevant. It doesn't make you an important person. I know that in our culture out there, and sometimes it infiltrates into the church, is that if you're a busy person, you've arrived. You have things to do. You're significant. I think Jesus is saying something different. Let's go on. So here's where we need role models, right? I look at Hebrews chapter 12, and we studied this last year. We need role models who have lived their lives, their spiritual lives, the right way, and who has finished the race well, and who are now in heaven. And that's basically what Hebrews 12:1 says. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, these are the people, you know, that are in the Old Testament, that you can say is in the New Testament, you can say that are in your lives. People that you respect, that you have watched over the years, that have ran the race well, that have put Christ first, Christ's presence as a first priority in their life, and they have finished the race all the way to the end until they went to heaven. Let these people, let their witness, let their testimony tell you, inspire you to continue to live faithfully also. And part of living faithfully then is to throw off everything that hinders. Throw off everything that distracts you. Here's where we came up with this saying that my friends in seminary charged me with. It says, David, learn to abandon the good for the best. You see, often the devil does not tempt you or distract you with the bad things. They're obvious. Often he distracts you with the good things. If you can just spend enough time, all your energies on the good things, you'll be missing out on the best things that God has given you. And so I have this phone here. It's a good thing. Most of us here would say that we can do a lot of business here. You know, we can not only talk, we can message, we can read the news, we can read about whether the Rams are winning or not. You know, they're not playing yet, but you know. We can play video games, we can take photos, we can watch a movie. There's so many things that this phone can do. But if I'm so focused, I'm so involved with this phone, there might be something in front of me, a person or a relationship, something else that I'm missing out on. And here's my encouragement, though. You know, lots of us get involved with things that we're really comfortable with, right? We're very familiar with. And so because it makes sense to us, we just continue to indulge in those things. But my encouragement then is for you to let it go. Let it go. Because it becomes distractions that keep you from God. And when they keep you from God, they're keeping you from God, empowering you to actually doing the things that are necessary and important. Doug Fields is his pastor in Orange County. He's famous youth pastor, now has his own church. And he wrote this book called Refuel. In it, he talks about how us people are people without margins. What does that mean? You know, so if your life, I don't know if you can see these margins, right? If your life is this paper full of all your activities, right? That's your life, full of activities that we do. Then there are margins. There are margins which are free space for you to write freely, free space for you to spend time with God. So what are people that are without margins? That's part of who we are. We're people without margins. We're people who have filled up these free spaces with distractions, with things of the world that seem good to us, but in reality, we're leaving out God. So abandon the good for the best. You know, Martha not only missed her opportunity, but she thought the kitchen was more important. Because of that, let's go to the third principle. I have decided to make Christ's presence my first priority. It's not as easy as it looks up there. But I have decided to make Christ's presence my first priority. Paul says, one thing I do. King David says, one thing that I ask, this only do I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, to gaze on his beauty all the days of my life. So my encouragement to all of us is to allow the presence of God. Find a way to allow the presence of God to overwhelm you. Not only when you come here on Sundays, I know it's easier when you come here on Sundays because of the people, but when you go out there on Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturday. Here's what Paul says in completing that one thing. He says, I consider everything, all my distractions, a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage. It's like doo-doo that I may know Christ. I may be in the very presence of Christ. So practically, how does that live out? I mean, I would love to engage. I mean, the word literally is doo-doo. I won't say any other word, but that's what it is. And so, you know, there are many ways that we could spend time with Christ, but I'll just give one short one. We need to learn how to then pull ourselves, right, away from that person or that thing that has been a distraction. And what I recommend is that they say 21 days, in 21 days, you can gain a new habit. So fasting. Fasting is what I do. Last year when Dean and I came to this church, I was hired in February and we're in this middle of this 21-day fast. It was sad because you never go on a fast when you come to Winnersburg because there's so many people that like to eat. So people were inviting us to all these dinners and we had to say no, and they thought we were vegans, but we were not, you know, so we love meat. However, you know, fasting in the Bible has everything to do with food, but you and I know that there are other things besides food that hold us, that capture us, right? And so just fast from it. You know, it could be anything. Just fast from it, pull yourself away from it, and then you have to fill that margin, right? That space that you have created, that margin that's there, you have to fill it with the very presence of God. How do you do that? We talk about this word refuge. I shared this in New Year's Eve service. Refuge is like, you have to make your home. If you can, it's not all possible for everyone, but you have to make your home a place of refuge. Because when you go out, when you step out, dangers alert. Business alert. Right? So you have to make your home as much as you can a refuge where, you know, where it's a closet, your room, and you have to create space where you can just meditate on God's word. You can pray, and not just pray, but pray expectantly, expecting God's moving. He's going to do something and worship. I even recommend that you lock yourself in a room and turn on some CDs and start dancing. I mean, if you're suffering from oppression, just start dancing, jumping around. No one's going to see you. Don't worry, except God. Just dance, and it's liberating. It's liberating. Do whatever it is that makes sense for your personality, how God has created you, and just allow the very presence of God to overwhelm you. Allow the very presence of God to minister to you right where you're at. And I guarantee you, this will be the best year of your life because the Holy Spirit of God will empower you not only to do all the things on a list, but to empower you to do what's important and what is eternal and cannot be taken away from you. Let me just pray. Invite the worship team. You know, New Year's is a time of new opportunities where we can reset ourselves. 2018 is over. 2019 is here. And my encouragement then for us is to not dwell on the past. I'm not talking about grieving over our lost loved ones. Certainly, that takes time. I'm talking about all things being equal, whatever those things are that hold us. You know, God has created a new moment for your life. God is a God of the future. I see that from Genesis all the way to the end. A revelation, and then it doesn't even end in revelation, it's eternity. So God is a God who wants you to include him into your life in 2019. He wants you to narrow down your life to this one thing, his very presence alone. And in his presence, which is obviously here now, may empower you heal you, encourage you, give you new life. Moving towards the future. You know, God, sitting before me are people here that some of us have had a great 2018 and we praise you. Some of us have had a bad 2018 and your word tells them to move forward. Not dwell on the past, but to dwell in the very presence of you. And then there are some of us here that might appear to be doing well on the outside, but we are barely hanging on underneath that surface. Maybe we're a little bit scared because of the suffering that we're going through, or maybe because the world, it seems overwhelming, it seems too large for us, and maybe we're just trying to keep up with our neighbors whom we think is doing well, but we're really scared underneath. I think that that's okay, because I think that God understands, and that's God, that's where God wants you to be, because it says in His Word that God is close to the brokenhearted, and He heals, He saves those who are crushed in spirit. And God, so your very presence is in here. And I ask in Jesus' name that you would bless my brothers and sisters that sit before me. I pray, Lord, that all the things that they have experienced in 2018 and before that would now become things of influence. Things that we can glean from to gain wisdom to how to move on. And that you would heal them so that it won't be things that they will dwell on and things that would control their lives and keep them stuck. I pray in Jesus' name for healing. I pray for in Jesus' name they would feel your new creation inside of them. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. It doesn't matter what age we are at. There's all age groups that sing before me, because still, yet, as we move towards the future, you're not done with us. Paul was in prison, but he was setting goals. May you set our goals for us, God, and give us many things to do, but may the most important thing, God, be your very presence. I impart for all of the people that are sitting before me that don't know you yet, if you want Jesus today, just understand that He doesn't look at what you've done in the past. Just understand that He doesn't look at your failures, because all those things have been nailed onto the cross. You just have to cry out to Him right now in your seat and say that you want Him. That's it. And I just impart the Spirit of God upon you. And for those who have been Christians for a long time, may we experience Your power, Your Spirit in us, God, given us the strength to move forward. Not only given us the strength to survive, but given us the strength, the liveliness, the joy, the peace, the hope, the love, to really thrive in this world, to be the life, to be the resurrection of every place, every events, every house, every opportunity that You give us. May we be the life of it, God, so that we can partake in this blessing that You have for people who are out there. That's my prayer for Your people before me, God, that You would use them, You would bless them, and that they will walk in Your beauty, God. Thank You so much. Thank You so much. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.